This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
If you're trying to escape from New York and you were going through JFK, your luggage might be on display still. Problems on the East Coast, particularly there, getting out and the weather very, very cold. There was a chill through the White House as more stories abound from this pope that's being pushed by a guy saying he's a journalist, Michael Wolff, with his book Fire and Fury, that has a lot of tongues wagging. And in the meantime, Oprah Winfrey, is she running for president in 2020? Hey, everybody, just another week here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So the crossroads, what are people talking about? Exactly what I just said. The East Coast, it's bizarre, it's freezing, it's horrific, and it really was like a luggage store at JFK. And why is that? Water main break, Terminal 4, nasty business. People were already stuck because of the weather. Some have been stuck since Friday. And then there were people that were stuck on the runway for hours and then stuck trying to get bags. So you can imagine the frustration, the exhaustion, and the need to escape New York. Sadly, because of those sub-zero temperatures in some cases, especially like in Boston, in New York, same thing, the record lows, just absolutely incredible, had everybody dressing up like mummies if they braved the weather, 13 days of below freezing temps, and then others sadly dying because of the weather, whether it was ice related, something with the house, something to do with exposure, whatever it was. But too many people losing their lives because of the weather, the severe weather. 22, in fact, in all. Lots of kids were out of school. Thursday and Friday especially were nasty, nasty, nasty. And ice is, to me, the tricky part. I'll take snow any day compared to an ice storm. And there has been an ice storm that's really got its grip on the Northeast. When you talk about a quarter inch of ice, how it accumulates, the freezing rain, that is just horrific. And that's when the danger, I think, really ensues. I do not miss that kind of weather. Donald Trump, not excited about Michael Wolff, this guy who had this massive access, apparently, to the White House, who slithered in and out of rooms, talked to all kinds of people, what's true, what's not true, who knows? We don't even know any of that. Steve Bannon has come out and apologized for what happened, saying that he should have come out sooner, and it's not right, the attacks on Don Jr. and whatnot, but too late, cat's out of the bag, and whether that bag is just ripped to shreds in the wrong directions or not, it doesn't matter. It's long gone and out there circulating. So there's a lot of conversation about what is and what is not. You know, fantasy, what is fiction, what's going on, what's true? Are there any true facts in any of what's reported? And here's the deal, it's a book. It's a book that people can read or not read, but definitely it has titillated the nation with some of the claims. One of the big claims is Michael Wolff says that the 25th Amendment was discussed again and again and again and again. So the author of Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House is saying that people talked about this amendment, which would allow the president's cabinet to remove him from office. He said staffers that he talked to would say we're not at a 25th Amendment level yet. He said he heard that a lot. Now, here's my question. My question is a simple one. How he gained so much access? How did he gain so much access to so many different people? He said that the reason he got the access is he just kind of would knock on the door, can I come in? And he would sit on the couch, and he would say he was writing a book, and he had heard this, and he said he didn't have an agenda. He had no politics when it comes to Donald Trump. He said he was just, it was just about human nature. Trump, as the president is threatening a lawsuit against Wolf, says the White House has taken issue with the accuracy of the assertions, including misidentifications and some other components of the book that could have been fact-checked, saying they weren't fact-checked. And the president wrote in a tweet last week, he feels Michael Wolff is a total loser who made up stories in order to sell this really boring and untruthful book. And it comes down to what's true, what's not true, we don't know. And we do know he did have access. We do know that he just tried to blend in and hear whatever he could. And people who are speaking to Wolff haven't confirmed very much of what's in the book. The White House says it's fiction. It's kind of a, this is what I heard and said, this is what you think is just not true. I don't know that that mystery is really solved. I don't think so. I think it's doubtful. And what's going to happen as a result of this book? Nothing. Meaning there's more conversation about it. Does the president get closer to, oh, we're going to impeach him? No. Is there really conversation that's serious about the 25th Amendment? No. At least not to my knowledge. And I have some pretty good contacts that actually would have a vote in such a thing. And of all the discussions, that is not one that is really happening on any level. Let me just say this again. Not happening on any level. Boom. Period. End of story. Coming up this week in Vegas. Oh, I'd love to take the show there to this. The Consumer Electronics Show. It's just an insane amount of people and futuristic buzz going on the entire time. It's exploded. I mean, it already was big. It's exploded to epic proportions. You know how many exhibits are here? Think about it. If you've ever had to work at an exhibit, you've, for your company, you've had to go somewhere, set it up. Can you imagine almost 4,000 exhibitors? And what are they showing? All kinds of things. Kitchen appliances, security platforms, reliable voice assistants, all that kind of stuff. Things that can cost billions of dollars and things that are maybe a little cheaper. Last year it was all about Alexa. This year it may be more about Google. I don't know. Maybe not. So, of course, Amazon. Of course, Google. Of course, any of the players are going to send their people there. And they're going to have workshops and presentations and blah, 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 blah. Because that's what it's for. It is the technology mecca. It is huge. This is where people go to brag, to hang, to chat, to XYZ. I mean, you name it, it's happening. That's what the bottom line is. But it starts this week, and it's big. You can bet that most of them are already set up and that a lot of people head to Vegas, even just because it's a curiosity to see what's the latest, greatest, wildest thing that is happening with technology. How about that? All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends, including an award show that people are actually talking about, but it's not about the people who received the awards for their movies and television creations as much as it is for one speaker. Stay with us.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It kicks off the awards season, basically. And so there's TV awards, there's movie awards, there's, you know, you name it. Basically, it's Hollywood, Hollywood, Hollywood. So all the women wore black, and this was a show of solidarity for everything, of course, that has happened in Hollywood since Harvey Weinstein's Pandora's Box was opened wide and shocking revelations came out, frankly. And we've talked about them on the show. It was ridiculous. And they swept him away. He's booted out. Whatever happens with the harassment claims, they're looking into criminal charges in New York, etc. But either way, he's gone. It's his era is over, and it really ushered in this wide spread. All of a sudden, other fields, other people, just poof. It was like, again, Pandora's box. So now there is a group that's been formed, and a lot of them are these Hollywood women and then lawyers that, good for them, they started an organization, just started it, called Time's Up. And what it does is it's got money, raises money for people that, not like themselves, that other people who couldn't afford to get a lawyer, who couldn't afford to fend off problems where they're working in hellacious conditions. And that's the whole idea. And plus, just to bring the awareness. So what they did was the women agreed to all these glamorous actresses and directors, etc., to wear black. So everybody had black dresses, etc. That's what they wore instead of any kind of color. And then the men had the Time's Up lapel pins on. And Oprah Winfrey was given the Cecil B. DeMille Award for her excellence in body of work in Hollywood. And she used that moment to highlight some of the atrocities that had happened to women. She became the first black woman to get that award. And during the acceptance speech, she talked about sitting on her floor in her childhood home, watching Sidney Poitier become the first black person to win an Oscar. And then she kind of went from there and made some incredibly valid points about what's happened over the years and pursuing dreams and whatnot, and made some powerful statements that I think people are going to be talking about for the next couple of days at least. And then I think the focus for this whole Oprah thing is, will she run in 2020? But she has said over and over again, no interest in doing the political thing. No, she's not running. No, none of that, none of that, none of that. And she talked about one of the things that she said, I thought that was so poignant, that she wanted to express gratitude to all the women who've endured years of abuse and assault because they, like mother, had her mother, had children to feed and dreams to pursue. They're the women whose names we'll never know. And I thought what was really powerful is the fact that she talked about sharing your stories and the power in the stories to share them, share them, share them. And I think her speech is going to resonate, like I mentioned, for more than just a couple of days. I think it's going to resonate onward. But it's interesting because you think about the fact that she's a TV host, a producer, an author, a philanthropist, etc., and then this happens to her with the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the 75th Gold Globe Awards. And I think that's just the big, probably, takeaway and part of the, you know, part of the conversation. The good news is there are so many men that are backing so many women, and the women who were at the show made mention of that too as well. And bravo for that, because you certainly, I think there are too many good men that all of the bad ones, weed them out, weed them out, weed them out, weed them out, but don't bag on the men who are fabulous husbands, wonderful supporters of all kinds of women in their lives. As I know, I've been the beneficiary of many of those kinds of relationships, and many of you have sent me fabulous notes of support and have talked about that and have talked about some terrible things that have happened to women in your lives that you cared about, and that's just something to take to heart. As a curveball here, because I'm trying to cram in a few of what I think are the other buzzes that would happen in conversation at a virtual water cooler, because so many of us work virtually, so we'll call it a virtual water cooler. The Winfrey speech, for sure. What's happened in the White House? Bannon apologizing for not coming out sooner to stick up for Don Jr. The president tweeting about the book and maybe they'll sue. Michael Wolff saying he had this access, he had no agenda. And fire and fury, conversation, conversation again and again and again about that and whether the president's fit to lead, etc. There's also this thing called playoffs in football. Jacksonville knocked off the Buffalo Bills 10-3. The Saints beat the Panthers, who tried to come back, 31-26. Seemed like they had a big edge most of the way through it, and then gave up some of that territory. The Titans knocked off the Chiefs. This was a shocker, 22-21. Derrick Henry was the king of the castle. 23 carries, 156 yards. He was there for almost every single snap for the Titans. There was definitely some controversy over the officiating. A lot of Chief fans not happy about when whistles were blown in two different occasions. Falcons, who last year went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots in the end because New England reeled back and came up with 25 points in overtime to beat the Falcons. The Falcons now move on to Philadelphia as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 26-13. So you're up to date on what happened in the NFL. And a lot of eyeballs were there. Don't know if there'd be any records set by some of the games, but I think a lot of people, especially with the ice storms and the brutal cold weekend, maybe even more people that wouldn't normally be watching were watching to see what happened in some of the games. How about this? I happen to catch this story. It's worth a mention. Former astronaut John Young. You might not remember his name, but he was a real trailblazer. Six journeys in space, including a walk on the moon. He commanded the first space shuttle flight. He died Friday after complications from pneumonia. He lived a good life, though. 87. He was 87, but he was definitely a pioneer. If you go back and whatever your search engine is, you type in his name, you'll see some of his missions. Very cool. Flying twice to the moon, walking on the surface, the space shuttle. Six times is a long time. And he was one of the first guys that came in. He was added to the original Mercury 7 in 1962, so he ended up as a pretty experienced flyer, I guess I'll call it that, one of the first astronauts. As I mentioned, that six times is very big. Gemini, Apollo, space shuttle, really, really cool. He says he was lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time to get the opportunity to do what he was able to do. And he commanded, actually, the first space shuttle flight with Bob Crippen, with pilot Bob Crippen, in April of 1981. And I just love looking at the old astronaut shots of him. I mean, that's pretty big to be selected, and to be on that many missions certainly says something, without a doubt, in their belief that he was could handle it, because he was good at what he did and how he performed leading up to the possibility of getting those missions. And he was able to do something that we'll never do, everybody listening to me, for the most part, I'm sure, in our lifetimes, the way he was able to do that. Cool, cool, cool is what I say. Sane to be able to claim that. You know, absolutely insane. And by the way, if you were thinking of, oh, did the jackpot roll over for Powerball or Mega Millions? Think again. Somebody in Florida is a big winner, and somebody in New Hampshire is a big winner. So those huge jackpots are off the table. They'll have to build up again. So you have another shot at one of those big pots. But let's be honest. If you won $3 million and had to pay a little taxes, would you be upset? Would that be upsetting if the jackpot wasn't quite as high? I think we'd take it. Yeah, I think we'd take it. Hang with us.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Excited to have a chance to talk to Lon Sefko. It's just amazing. Innovator, inventor, best-selling author. Think about this. 2017 Pulitzer Prize nominee, author of multiple, I said that, you know, the author thing, innovative best-selling books. I've read them, the social media Bible. I can't get enough of his stuff, and I'm thrilled he agreed to spend some time with us. And I thought we'd talk about big brain, because he certainly has one. Lon, thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it.
Oh, how exciting it is to be here. Thank you for thinking of me.
I think the place to start, because there's a lot of roads that we could go down, but I want to talk about the fact that you developed the world's first voice recognition, voice synthesizing, pioneering home automation. I mean, this is brain, big brain stuff. So tell me about that, and how did you know you had really hit on to something spectacular as a person who is, you know, innovative and is an inventor?
Well, I knew I was onto something when it saved somebody's life. So I'm credited with the first computer to save a human life. It is Steve Jobs coined that phrase, and I thought it was pretty cool, so it kind of stuck with me. I did it really for fun back in the 70s, way back in the 70s when computers first came out. They'd only been out for a couple of years, and I was playing with it, and I said, wouldn't it be cool if I could teach a computer to listen to me? And I did. And then I said, wow, how cool would it be if I can get it to talk to me? And then I did. And then I said, can I get it to turn on lights and appliances? So then I said, lamp on. Lamp would come on. Locked door. Television on. Radio off. Call mom. And that was back in the early 80s. And I worked with disabled people, and it started saving their lives, and I built a company around it.
Well, and that company took off like a shot. And, you know, when people think of voice recognition, who do we think of? There's a lot of people. You mentioned Steve Jobs, obviously. And, you know, you look at the archetypes for the Apple Newton and the first PDA. And, you know, as you said, you know, ultimately saving a life. But I think of Stephen Hawking, right?
Well, I actually went over to meet Stephen Hawking to help him with his disability over in Cambridge, and we didn't connect. He was called out of Cambridge at the very last minute. But my last customer that I got to work with was Christopher Reeve, Superman.
And we saw him in interviews. He wanted so desperately to be able to still reach people, and you obviously gave him the ability to do that. What was that like, the light bulb moment? You could see it in his eyes, right, when he was able to do that?
You know, that's the exciting thing, is to see people who have completely lost hope and wanted to die. A lot of disabled people that I worked with would have committed suicide if they could have moved their arms. But then after working with a system where they could, I had a woman without arms typing 48 words a minute. And when you see that, it's just so rewarding.
So when you do something, you know you're helping humans. You're making that connection through the computer. And what you were able to do, how that innovation that you created, where do you go from there? Because you have lots of inventions. In fact, 18 of your inventions are part of the permanent collection of the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. They even have 30,000 of your personal papers. So they were enthralled enough, and we've seen them. I can't tell you how many times I've been to the Smithsonian, and as you know, they're all housed in different buildings and broken down. But what is it? You just are motivated. You keep going. For all the people that are listening that want to kind of grab on to innovation, how do you do that?
Well, Thomas Edison once said that inspiration is 10% and perspiration is 90%. And I get inspired all of the time. I look around and see things and know how to make them better. I mean, I just get these ideas of how to put things together. And some ideas are, to be honest with you, pretty stupid. But some of them, I think, have merit. So I'll go out and I'll build it or make it or design it or write it. And then I'll test it and see what people think. And if they like it, I'll build a company around it. And next thing you know, it's kind of out there and it's successful.
Yeah. Where do you think we are with technology? Are we at the cutting edge of technology? Is it going to take off even more? Where are we?
Yeah, I have to say it's always going to take off. I thought in 1978 when the Apple first came out and the Commodore was out there and the Osborne for your older audience, I thought we were on the cutting edge of technology. It was amazing what we were doing with computers. And that was 40 years ago, and look at what we're doing now. The most powerful computer, 1978, it probably represents about 3 or 4% of the smartphone that we have in our pocket. So it's going to continue, and it's going to continue at a faster and faster rate. And that's going to make it difficult for us to kind of keep up with. Artificial intelligence is going to become a major part of our life. And I'm proud to say that I was one of the pioneers in voice recognition and voice synthesizing. Of course, we have Siri and Alexa and all the other, the girl in our box in the car that gives us directions. So that technology is here, and it's just going to get more and more sophisticated.
So, in other words, you better jump on, right? Especially we've got a lot of speakers and trainers listening to us. And I don't think you can afford, and you could address this better than me, to say, I just don't do that. I don't do that. I have just handouts and I can't work with technology.
And I hear that all the time. It was really funny. My wife just absolutely refused to get a smartphone. And she only got her first iPhone when they stopped manufacturing flip phones. So it's inevitable. It's here, and people fought computers. They fought email. They fought the internet. They fought social media. And if you're going to be in business, if you're going to communicate with other human beings, you have to embrace this technology. It's here, and it's here to stay. So learn it. It's not that bad. People are just afraid because it's something new. But once you turn the light on, all the monsters disappear out of the closet. It's actually easy, and it's fun.
I like that it's easy and it's fun. One of the things that you also do besides make these incredible inventions and set the world on fire with innovation, in your spare time when you're speaking, you know, you're a renowned international speaker. There's no question about that. You teach some of the world's biggest companies, household names that we know, how to harness innovative thinking. What are some of the key elements of what you have discovered really work for you when you're trying to make that breakthrough moment for these companies?
I love teaching innovative thinking. It's what I used to teach before I wrote the social media Bible. So it's kind of my foundation. I was asked by a speakers bureau in 2001. He said, "You're the most innovative person I've ever met. Can you make a keynote or even a whole day training?" And I answered, "Well, yeah, of course. I do innovation all the time." 3 years later, I still hadn't figured it out. They needed a process. And they actually turned it into a process. It's something I call the three C's. The secret to innovation is to study everything around you if you're trying to solve a problem. Look at it from every different angle, every industry. Don't just look at your own industry. If there was a solution, someone would have already figured it out. Henry Ford discovered how to create an assembly line. It changed manufacturing forever. And it gave us the opportunity to make less expensive products, like the car. But he learned it one afternoon, sitting under a tree on a potato farm. He was watching the potatoes go up the conveyor belt and drop into the truck. And he said, "Wait a minute, if I can change out the potatoes for cars, I got something here." And he reduced the price of the car to about $500, and he was making millions of them. So sometimes the solutions are right in front of you. And then give your brain an opportunity to communicate those solutions. Turn off the background noise. You don't have to get in the car and blast your iPhone. Just listen to your own brain, because it's amazing how many good ideas you have in there. You hear them in the shower. You hear them when you are exercising, when you're walking or jogging. You get them at night when you're sleeping. So just listen to yourself.
We started talking about technology, but ironically, turn off the technology to let your brain just kind of marinate with those ideas. I love that, Lon.
That's true. It's so true.
So as you said, you also have one of the books I mentioned, the Social Media Bible, and I think there's a lot of confusion over social media. I mean, I'll admit this. People will say, you have to do everything. You've got to get a zillion people on Instagram, and then, oh my gosh, what are your numbers on Twitter? For goodness sake, look at the President Trump and how many numbers he has on Twitter. And what about Facebook? And I think we become overwhelmed by social media. How do we tame that lion?
That's a big problem for everybody. I mean, not only personally, how do you keep in touch with everybody on every platform? Even for you, getting to your listeners and finding where they are. Every company worldwide, which is why I teach digital communications worldwide, because everyone is faced with the same problem. First of all, there's too much content. There's too much information coming at us from every single angle. So we're getting desensitized to marketing, to advertising, to tweets, to posts. Everybody's talking, nobody's listening. That's the first problem. But what you said was absolutely true. We do kind of have a responsibility, especially if we're in business, to monitor and to communicate on every single platform. The reason is we don't know where the critical mass is. We don't know if your listeners prefer Facebook over Twitter, or they like LinkedIn or Instagram. So you got to kind of be there. You got to test it. You got to see where they are. And then after you test it and get some numbers, you can kind of cut back on some of the platforms that aren't giving you the best rate of return on investment and focus on the ones where the majority of your customers are.
Yeah, great advice. Parting shot. So as we talk about technology, letting your brain have a chance to think creatively, to come up with whatever the next great best speech is or product or whatever it is that you might be doing, what would you like to see happen in the near future when it comes to innovation?
Oh, I want everybody to become more innovative. I want everybody to believe that they are innovators. Everybody comes up with great ideas. Think of the number of great ideas that you've come up with in your lifetime. And if you could just figure out what that process is, like riding a bike, playing a piano, and you just practiced it just a little bit, and you were able to come up with really award-winning ideas once a month, once a week, maybe even once a day, how would that change your life? How would that change the world? America, I mean, that's what made this the greatest country in the world for centuries, because we are innovators. We are constantly pushing the boundaries, breaking through that envelope. And I want everybody to continue to do that. Just be as innovative as possible, because we all have it in us. We just have to know how to do it, and we get to practice.
Lon Sefko, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, folks. Ronnie here from Life Change Tea. There's a lot of hubbub about the ramifications of GMOs. First of all, what are GMOs? Genetically modified organisms.
Yee!
Man-made organisms entering our body, changing and damaging us from the inside out. What's our defense? First of all, not eating them. Second, cleansing from them when we do eat them. Thank God for Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea cleanses from toxins, heavy metals, and helps flush GMOs out of your body. Our unique blend of herbs help cleanse you from the inside out, helping you feel refreshed and clean of yee. We also carry unique, one-of-a-kind supplements. So order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Rid yourself of the yee that contaminates your food and water. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get the tea. Your best defense.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
America Tonight. Check this out. This is crazy. And it might get buried in the headlines because of everything that's happened with the inauguration. But on Wednesday, the United States Supreme Court is going to hear a case that is focusing on an Oregon-based rock band's name. According to what we've seen from the AP, the U.S. government's refuses to register a trademark for the Slants, is the name of the group, because the name is considered offensive to Asians. Boy, oh boy, isn't it interesting, because the court's ruling could actually affect the Washington Redskins. They've been in a fight, you know, I've talked about this a lot, to keep the National Football League team name that they have, and the NFL with the trademark protection, and we know what's happening with Dan Snyder, who owns that team, and it's been quite an ordeal. Joining us now is an attorney, Dr. Nick Oberheiden. His practice is in federal courts. He's currently admitted to practice law in New York and Washington, D.C., and, of course, all kinds of other courts in our court system, Court of Appeals, the District Court for the Southern and Eastern District of New York, the U.S. District Court for the Northern, Southern, and Eastern District of Texas. It's important to specify that because it means that Nick can try a whole bunch of cases if he finds himself in those situations. Hey, Dr. Oberheiden, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. For this Supreme Court hearing for the slants, the government's not going to register the trademark. What's their argument? I would imagine freedom of speech, right?
Well, it's actually an interesting case because the government takes the position that the name, the slants, is disparaging and offensive, and the basis in the Lanham Act, which is a federal statute, essentially says if a trademark application is offensive or disparaging, the trademark office has the authority to deny the protection. And this is really what Simon Tam, this young musician, went through when he started battling the federal government in 2011. He applied, it was denied. He appealed, it was denied. He went to court, it was denied. And here we are, Mr. Tam and the Slants are now, you know, giving a concert, so to speak, in our highest court, the U.S. Supreme Court, on Wednesday.
Wow. So you've been in this game for a while. That's why I laid out all the places where you can try cases. What do you think happens here? Is this just another thing that kind of gets shelved for a while because of what we've seen happen with the Redskins?
Well, those cases are clearly connected, and I think the decision on the Slants will have an impact on the Redskins as well. What is strange about this whole process, quite frankly, is there are trademarked and protected names that I can't even pronounce here on air on the radio, and I won't, I promise. So that makes this whole case and ordeal even more stand out. Keep in mind, and this will be an important precedent and factor for the eight U.S. Supreme Court justices, the Westboro Baptist Church case. If you remember, there were people who hatefully disparaged fallen soldiers, and the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, we understand the First Amendment is not about what's convenient and what we agree with. It's not about value. It's not about taste. The First Amendment is as broad as an amendment, as a protection can be. And even if we disagree and reject an idea or a statement, we still protect it. And I think it will be very difficult for the government to overcome this very, very high standard that was established in cases like the Westboro and other First Amendment cases before the Slants reached the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, fascinating to watch this. I'd be remiss not to ask you a little bit about your background. You went to Harvard Law School. You also trained at a couple of interesting institutions, the United Nations Office of the Prosecutor, International Criminal Tribunal for former Yugoslavia. What was that like to be, you know, tied to the United Nations, of course, and then explain the Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia, or what was?
Yeah, and as my accent may be revealing, I grew up in Germany. I finished law school in Germany. I studied law in Munich, Hamburg, and got a PhD in international law, comparative law, at the University of Heidelberg. I got my JD at UCLA Law School, and I did a couple of extra steps in Brazil and in the United States to further educate myself on federal and international law. And part of that experience was to look over the shoulder of the chief prosecutor of the United Nations at the War Tribunal in The Hague in the Netherlands for ex-Yugoslavia. And that was certainly an interesting experience to meet people like General Wesley Clark and see him testify in court. So that was an experience that really shaped my education, but also my view on the law and on justice.
Yeah, and so when you say that and you talk about Wesley Clark, the general, the former general, explain that for the listeners who may not remember that whole story.
Well, what happened in under President Clinton in the late 90s, the United States with other allies started to bomb, essentially, President Milosevic, the president of Yugoslavia, for atrocities and war crimes committed against within Yugoslavia. There were conflicts between Serbians, Croatians, and Kosovo people. living in the Kosovo, and this conflict just erupted to more than just a civil war. And at some point, the NATO, under the leadership of General Clark, started to intervene and to stop these atrocities. And then many years later, the United Nations started to try some of the accused and later convicted war criminals that were orchestrated this civil war and this explosion and eruption in the heart of Europe.
Yeah, wow, crazy stuff. What are you passionate about with all the different areas that you specifically work in and the reach that you have federally? What motivates you the most, Nick?
I'm really dedicated to the idea of fair trial and due process. I limit my practice to federal law. I do a lot of federal criminal cases involving the FBI and the Department of Justice, Department of Defense. And what is interesting and exciting in every case is the idea that I am not the judge, but I am surrounded by enormously important principles that were established in this country as part of constitutional interpretation, whether it's a seizure and arrest warrant, whether it is just the idea and the notion that everyone has a right to go to trial, have a jury trial. These are, you know, we take those ideas for granted, but again, reflecting on my experience in that war case, for example, war tribunal, these ideas that Americans enjoy every single day, the idea of justice and fair trial, that is not a standard that you find in every single country. And this idea, pursuing this idea and helping clients in critical situations is really something that is driving me and that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. Wow. Pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Nick Oberheiden. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. So interesting to talk to Nick Oberheiden about this. The fact that, as he's mentioning, if we go back to the beginning of what we were talking about, the United States Supreme Court hearing this case about the name of this rock band that is considered offensive. You know, again, the government canceled the team's trademark last year after they found they're disparaging to Native Americans. So for the Slants founder, the name was chosen not to offend, but to take on stereotypes about Asian culture. He says the ban is reclaiming a term once used as an insult and transforming it into a statement of cultural pride. That's what the deal was. But the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office didn't see it that way. They refused to register the name back in 2011, saying a trademark can be disparaging even if it's meant to be used in a positive light. So now you have the court's ruling and how that could possibly affect the Redskins in their fight to continue to keep that trademark. So it becomes the question of, is it assault on free speech by the government, or is it necessary to protect against language that offends some groups? We will talk about it. I can tell you that as we continue down the road next week on America Tonight. Coming up next, we check the mail.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.